Difficulties. The microphone didn't work, so excuse me for just a second as I can just talk here, but I can't necessarily multitask very well and plug it. Just a second, my brain. I think that's right. Okay, am I on this microphone now? Okay, good. Just a second, I'll just put it in the pocket. There's so many things, right? Good morning. Good morning. Let me pray just a minute. Lord, I want to thank you so much for today. Thank you that we can gather in your presence. I continue to be moved so much by sort of the redemption that you have given us in this moment, that we value what we have not been able to have for quite a while, and that is the gathering of your people together. So Lord, right now we invite you to be amongst us as you always are. And Lord, for this message, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, would be pleasing to you, Lord God, our rock and our salvation. Speak to us now, Lord. Amen. So I think this is fine. Well, good morning. It is great to be here. I haven't seen all of your faces because some of you, I think, have been looking at Zoom or looked at Zoom when I was here previously, but my name is Lina, and I am the Missions and Community Pastor at Hawkesbury Valley Baptist Church in North Richmond, and we've had a very interesting period the last few weeks, or the last month, really since Easter. As you would be aware, we've had floods in our neighborhood, and I just wanted to share with you, I guess this is sort of a side moment, just to say that God has been so gracious with us, and he has given us the blessed opportunity of actually helping some of the people in our neighborhood who have lost everything. And in fact, just in the past 2 weeks, I've been helping a man whose home was washed away. He was a resident at one of the caravan parks, and this particular caravan park, everybody who didn't pack everything that they could into their car and drive away with that, everything that was left behind was lost. So he had nothing but his carload of stuff, the items, you know. And since then, he has a place to live. Through some of our contacts, he has a bed and a bedroom set. He now has because of yesterday and some collection that happened, he has a washing machine, and he has a lounge set, and he has some tables, and he has kitchenware. So he is really, his home is being refurbished with all the things that he needs. And I just want to declare that as the glory of God. The Lord rescues us, doesn't he? And he helps us in the moments of need. And that's just my testimony that I wanted to share with you this morning. Doesn't necessarily have anything to do with my message except that God is great. And that will always be my message. So let's go back to the Christian in work. Well, this is the thing. As I was reflecting on that topic, which is an incredibly important topic for us as we grow as disciples, as we become who God intends us to be, because it's not just here at church, but it's in every aspect of our being that God is working out in us, correct? However, I will let you know that as I was dwelling into this and seeking into this message and seeking into this word, which is such an important word, I kept feeling the Lord shifting me from the Christian and work to the work of Christ. So I just want to let you know that the focus of this message is its tandem. But as this passage says, we are God's masterpiece, his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works, the good things that he has established for us to do. But none of those good works will happen without that connection, that indwelling, and that complete resource that comes from Jesus Christ and his complete work that he has done. And when I think about the work of Christ, where do I go? Where do I go? I go right straight to the cross. And so for today's message, I happen to have a visual aid. Excuse me. This is a cross. I know you know that. But this is a cross that is found at my church in our prayer room. I asked if I could borrow it. And I think it's beautiful. I hope you can see it all right. It's really lovely. And I love, one of the things that I love about this cross is this heart right here at the center of it, right? Because that's what's at the center of the cross, is the heart, the love of God manifest in that cross. But why are we focusing on the cross when we think about the work of Christ? And I think to do that, we have to go back even further. God's plan for us, the creation, was made perfect. God, in the Garden of Eden, the relationship that God had with his people was perfect. It was intimate. In fact, God, the worker, had created the world, correct? And then he created his people to care for the world. That was their job. Their job was to be stewards of the garden, right? And it was a perfect union, a perfect and intimate and close relationship where they were together. They walked. They went for strolls in the garden, didn't they? It was perfect. It was beautiful. And it was intimate. And really, we even know now that there is nothing better than that in the whole wide world. His perfect plan. But then, as we know, something happened. Sin entered the world. Sin entered the world in the fall. When the man and the woman decided that rather than continuing in that beautiful intimacy with God, they would listen to that word that said, "Don't you want to be God? You could be as good as him." All they were told is not to take of that one item, not that one tree of the knowledge, but the enemy. What did he do? Oh, no, did God really say that? Is that what he really said? Sowing the doubt in there. And sin entered the world. So there was a broken relationship. And then there was the blame game. Where it's, no, oh, no, poor me. I didn't do it. It was his fault. He made me do it. And then he was like, oh, no, it wasn't my fault. She made me do it. So it's the blame game. It's not me. No, no, I'm a victim here. I'm not a sinner. I'm a victim of the things that have happened to me. Oh, no, no, not me. And then the sins that continued to build, didn't they? Sin entered the world and death came. And then there's that, I can do it. I don't need God. Or that I'm going to just, you know, a little bit of falsehood so that I look good. Or, oh, maybe I want some of what that person has. Or, oh, I don't think that what I have is good enough. That's better. That's better. Or I want more. I want more. I want more. Or looking at other people in a way that we have no business looking at others. And sin catapulted and built and built and built. So there was laziness and there's lust and there's all this stuff. And we became enemies of God, separated, prisoners of our sinful nature. And of course, as we know, everyone has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin, what is it? We know that is death. And we are separated from that perfect relationship with God. And then, further to that, the world. You see, the world would also separate us from our God, our Creator, our loving Father. Because there is wickedness, as we know, it built in the world. It built and it built and it built with the wickedness that built up to Noah and the Tower of Babel, the struggles of the nations. And we see it even here in our lives, don't we? Where the world would just distract us from the things of God and the things of goodness. Where we see, instead of seeking the approval of God, we want the approval of men. The approval of people is more important, or where we have comparison instead of compassion, perversion instead of perfection, where there's fear. You know, you hear about it all the time. Be afraid, be afraid. there's monsters in the world. But they are very serious and very real things. But instead of fear, God would have us have faith. So instead of faith, which is of God, the world says fear, be afraid. Consume everything that you see. Consume instead of care. And then shame. Shame because you're not enough. You're not enough. You'll never be enough. And you should be ashamed of yourself. The world around us is under the control of the evil one. And speaking of the evil one, the enemy himself, who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy, is another obstruction. And make no never mind about it, it is a spiritual battle that we are in. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of this unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Because that brazen tempter who dared to even tempt Jesus, the Son of God, is tempting us. He is the accuser of the brethren that continues to repeat that message that you're not enough or that you need to look at somebody else. He's the father of lies, bringing deception to us at all times. He's the deceiver. He is out to steal, kill, and destroy, and we are in that spiritual battle. And all of this obstruction and this separation, and there is nothing we can do about it. But the good news is that we don't have to do it because Christ has done the work. Jesus Christ did the work in the cross because that is the pivot moment of history. That moment where everything changed. Absolutely everything. Where the original plan is reconsidered, where God himself came down and the temple is in us. Because you see what happened? Do you remember when he died on the cross, that visual that happened, that God made happen? That curtain that separated the Holy of Holies, that most intimate place of relationship, that separation was torn. It was ripped from top to bottom. And then what happened? Well, then Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, crushed the head of the devil. He stepped on it, and he crushed him through his blood. He defeated him. You see, the enemy is crushed. Jesus is the great overcomer, the light of the world that overcomes the darkness. And when he was lifted up, that enemy was cast out because Jesus broke the power of the devil. He broke it. And when he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities, he shamed them publicly on the cross, and it was broken. So the devil is defeated. Because again, it's not just a spiritual battle. But what other things? In the work of the world, you see Jesus, through his blood, he started a new world. The kingdom of God has come because he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords and he is the God of all creation. And he showed us when he hung on the cross, he showed us what it meant to be part of the kingdom. He who, being the Son of God, did not even consider equality with God as something to grasp after. Instead, he obeyed the Lord completely in the work of the cross because of the joy awaiting him. And now he sits beside the king. He sits beside God's throne because he endured that shame, disregarding it completely, so that he might change everything. And then through that, the Messiah starts the church. And the church is where the kingdom starts. But we are in a moment of now and not yet, aren't we? He started the kingdom, but it is not going to be complete until he comes again in that second coming. And then finally, he bore our sins. The cross atones for our sins and he defeats them, for he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Amen? He brings us, his sacrifice has set us free. He is our salvation. He is the priest. He justified us. He paid the price, reconciling us to God. The enmity is abolished and our relationship is restored. You see, even as it says in Isaiah, right? That's where that great imagery comes out, where he was pierced for our transgressions, where he was crushed for our iniquities, where he bore our shame on the cross and it is removed, where he took our pain and bore our suffering. And he canceled the charges against us and took it away by the nailing on the cross. And he is rich in kindness. And his work on the cross sets us free. But really, I don't know. I don't think the work that he did on the cross is really beautiful, if you will permit. Really, it's fairly ugly. The cross itself, the work that he did, it was tremendous, wasn't it? It was terrible. But he bore it for us so that once again we can live in intimacy with our God. The separation, he destroyed it. He thrashed it. And he invites us into a relationship with him. Not only does he invite us into a relationship with him, he invites us into a working relationship with him, where he says, take up your cross and follow me. And the cross that we have to take up is not the same one that he took up, per se, because we can't do that. But he does call us to take up our own individually designed crosses. They will involve sacrifice. And they will involve denying ourselves. But they are individual. Each one of us gifted with something very specific and very special and very unique to each person to contribute to the kingdom so that it will grow, so that it is strong, so that it is healthy as we carry the cross that he has given us. And when he gives us that cross, he says, come, come to me. All those who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For my burden is easy and my yoke is light. Because he is working right beside us. And he is sharing that with us. So that invitation that he gives us to take up the cross, to walk with him, is an invitation to share in his work. Because as he transforms us, as we walk with the cross that he has given us, we are transformed into his masterpiece. And we are created in him to do the mighty works that he has established for us. So how do we enter into that? What do we do? We have to surrender. Surrender to the one authority who is truly capable of defeating the enemy. When we surrender to him, he gives us his authority. And we follow that authority. We follow the king. Because after all, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we follow him. And in order to be liberated from the sin that so wickedly entangles us, we trust him. We trust him with all that we are, everything we have. There isn't anything else. So as the Lord works through us, it is by surrendering to him, trusting him, and following him that we are able to truly do the great works that he has established for us to do ahead of time. And in that way, those works happen here and they happen there, and we go out into the world and things change. The work that he has given us to do, creating us specifically for who he has made us to be, changes everything. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. It's his promise. It's his determination. And he invites us. He says, come to me. Take up your cross and follow him. And the next thing we do is we openly declare it. If we openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we're saved. We're changed. Everything is altered. Because by believing in our heart, we are made right with God. And by openly declaring with our mouths our faith, we are saved. And so the invitation today is to come to the Lord, to come to him directly, to trust him, to surrender, and to follow. And to carry out that transaction here and now, so that as we continue in that transforming power of Jesus Christ, we see a world that is different. And that is the work of Christ. Join with me in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you. We come to you now with who we are, what we have, all the stuff that separates us, our own nature, our own sinful nature that separates us. Lord, we admit all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And we can't do anything about it. And the world is against us. And there is a battle. But Jesus Christ, you have done it all. You have borne our sin on the cross. And you have established a new kingdom. And you have conquered the enemy. And Lord Jesus Christ, we have nowhere else to go but you. So Lord, we surrender to you. We surrender to your authority. We follow you, Lord Jesus, King Jesus. We want to follow you in every step of our lives. Because of the work you've done, we want to do the work you establish for us. And we trust you, Jesus. We trust you for what you have for us. Lord, we take the things of our mind and we trust you. You are our Lord. And right now, today, We accept you as Jesus Christ, our Lord, our authority, our Savior, our God. Amen. A band is going to come up, I believe.